Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Another edition of the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour / American Exposé, sponsored by Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. DGST listeners, we're here tonight at 7 p.m. Central and doing our best to help you understand what's going on. And we see here about the Ford Foundation linking U.S. Russia across the Internet, friends and partners. Goals of the Ford Foundation is in here. It's all here for you to see and behold, listeners. The Foundation policy on diversity is there. Activities of the Ford Foundation in Russia, listeners. It's all very apparent that this is going on, which was predicted by Roland Gaither back in 1953, interviewed by Norman Dodd, where he stated to Norman Dodd, Roland Gaither did, president of the Ford Foundation, that the goal of the Ford Foundation was to comfortably merge the U.S. with the Soviet Union, and that apparently is going on. And so we're seeing this activities at the Ford Foundation in Russia right on the Internet, right on my website, or our website, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K. Hansa, are you with me?
Yes, Chris, I'm here.
Okay, you're going to have to speak a little louder.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah. It's not as good as the connection as last week, but I think we can hear you. What do you think of this Ford Foundation and their directions with partners with the U.S.?
Actually, it doesn't surprise me at all. There are several people in the American industry or, let's say, business sector, and if we go back all the way back to people like Armand Hammer, these people were sympathizers of communism.
Now, listeners, once again, Hansa Molina, give a little background of yourself. Once again, you're a Czechoslovakian defector, aren't you? What's that?
I was born in communist Czechoslovakia and served in their military as a part of draft.
You were drafted into the Czechoslovakian military, right?
Yeah, I was in the Air Force for 2 years, and in 1988 I was able to defect to basically I went on tourist visit to communist Yugoslavia, and I was able to get a Spanish visa, and through blind luck basically I was able to escape from there and ended up in Spain in Barcelona, applied for a U.S. immigration visa, and I was able to come to America, became U.S. U.S. Citizen in 1995, and I began to study this subject about 5 years ago. because it interests me, and I've seen some bad signs already in my former country, in Czech Republic, that I began to disbelieve all these all the data that these people are putting out, that the collapse of communism really happened. And so I started checking for myself and came up with pretty good facts that these people that represent all these Eastern European countries and also Russia, they are lying to us, and for a very very good reason, because they want to install communism around the world. So that's what I'm speaking about, and that's what I'm very much concerned about. And you know, if you look at my website, there are a lot of facts that support that information, and of course I'm not the only one. There are people that documented what Russia is up to, including KGB defector Anatoly Golitsyn, Czechoslovak General Jan Šejna, other people that also defectors, among which is GRU, Russian Military Intelligence Officer Viktor Suvorov, and many others that escaped from communism and brought important details about what the communists are preparing for the world.
Now, the website, listeners, is the Anti-Communist Analyst. .com. They're on our website, AmericanExplosé.com, the AntiCommunistAnalyst.com, which is on our partner websites on the front page. And I'm looking at New Lies for Old on page 332, New Lies for Old, written by Anatoly Golitsyn, I believe, in 1984. I think that's when it was written. Let me double check here.
It was written prior to that. It was published in 84.
Okay.
That was the year.
Published in 84. Mm-hmm. On page 322 of this book, listeners, New Lies for Old, it says here, communist strategic disinformation has had a profound influence on international relations. Western governments and their professional advisors have remained oblivious to the problem. The fundamental purpose of the disinformation program has been to create favorable conditions for the fulfillment of long-range communist policy. The communist strategist have achieved their purpose thus far by misleading the West on developments in the communist world and the three main aims in view: to relieve Western pressure on the communist regimes while they are building socialism, and laying the groundwork for an eventual worldwide federation of communist states, to provoke the Western responses they desire to their activist diplomacy and international communist strategy, and to prepare the ground for a major shift in communist tactics in the final phase of policy in the 1980s. Now, what was that final phase of policy, do you think? The collapse of the Soviet Union?
That's exactly it. Basically, the perestroika. We have to realize first, Chris, that who these people are, namely Mikhail Gorbachev. Everybody thinks what kind of hero he is. He holds the rank of KGB general. First of all, he was the favorite pupil of KGB director and then later general secretary of the Communist Party of Soviet Union, Yuri Andropov. Andropov restructured the KGB the way, or at least helped restructure the KGB, that they brought in a system. Basically, what Golitsyn testified was that they set up inner and outer KGB sections. The inner section were the strategists that were bringing in the strategies and changes in policies, and they were not allowed to leave the country, so they couldn't be really, they were under strict watch, and they couldn't really be recruited. So the strategy was very safe, very well safeguarded, and the outer section of the KGB were the agents and spies and agents of influence and all recruited people, but they had no access to the strategy. They were only supplied the data of what they needed for the particular operation, so they were all operating on need-to-know basis only. So sometimes when there was indication that these people would be uncovered in the West, they were also supplied deceptive information on purpose to to mislead the CIA and Western intelligence services into thinking that Russia is changing the course. And of course, Russians were very successfully using these people to basically change the Western foreign policies and to undermine their view of communism and to bring the Western societies into more acceptance toward the communist ideology.
I see. And so with this in mind, I see from the magazine entitled Guns and Ammo, July 2005, CZ acquires Dan Wesson Firearms. CZ is from Czechoslovakia. CZ used to make motorcycles, didn't they?
Well, also motorcycles, but it was a major arms factory not too far from where I was from, so they produce a lot of weapons and weapon systems, and so the motorcycles were on the side basically for the civilian sector, but the major sphere of interest was the arms production.
They have CZ USA has purchased Dan Wesson and will soon be offering both revolvers and auto pistols, still under the Dan Wesson banner. And they say while the transition is expected to take about 60 days, right now they talk about the models that will be available very soon. But this information can be found at DanWessonFirearms.com, evidently. CZ from Czechoslovakia did they supposedly get their independence when the Soviet Union fell back in 1989, supposedly?
Most of the companies, big companies, are still in hands of communists that are totally loyal to the Russian strategy and to the Russians. Many companies, the scheme worked that first of all, there were companies that were owned by the state before the so-called collapse of communism that were later sold to so-called foreign investors. There are some indication that these investors also worked already for the Russians. So Russians, through these schemes, acquired a lot of companies that were basically under control of the Czech communists. And of course, this applies to all Eastern Europe. I have reports that this in fact happened. This way, they could actually present these Eastern European countries as countries where foreign investors come really to invest their money. But in fact, all these investors are main investors. Most of them are compromised already. So. Like I said in the beginning, when we look at people like the proven uncovered KGB agent and operative Armand Hammer, we get to see that these people are really used in order to present the communist countries as sort of acceptable countries, and especially when the Soviets realized that and I'm quoting from Galitzin again from page 143, The Perestroika Deception, his second book. Let me read this because he explains it really well. The Soviets realized that convergence with the United States, and I added note means under Soviet rules, cannot be achieved under the old compromise symbols of Lenin, Dzerzhinsky, and other associated in the Western mind with terror, repression, exile, and bloodshed. Convergence requires the introduction of new, attractive, national, and, quote, democratic, unquote, symbols, conveying the impression that Soviet, quote, democracy, unquote, is approaching the Western model. So this is exactly what they wanted us to do. In the sense, they can read Western mind that we are market-oriented, and therefore we are interested in making profit and interesting in building new markets. So they supplied these markets, of course, but under their rules. So in case of Russia and any Eastern European country, all the strategic industries like the electricity, power industry, production, major production companies, all remained in the partially or fully in the hands of the state, under control of the state, and in the case of major companies, they are solely in the hands of communists. So nothing really changed in those countries in this regard, and we are pretty much being taken for the ride.
Now, you've been in this country how many years? 15 years?
15 years, yeah.
Okay, so here we're in Iraq. Dennis has done some superlative research once again, and we all appreciate it, absolutely. And the fact of the matter is that there's an Iraqi body count here on the website under today's date, which is the 8th of June. And it's just remarkable all the violence that continues over there. And I'm sure you are just as thought-provoking as I was when this first started, that this was going to be a long, drawn-out, bloody war. When Saddam Hussein was in power, and he had a Republican Army, they called it, which was the elite of the military in Iraq, the only thing for them to have done when we invaded them was for them to take their uniforms, burn them, and put on civilian clothes, correct?
That's basically it, yes.
Now, for us to realize this, many people in this country realize the same thing, and so we have thousands of people that are on this website that are dead. The numbers don't lie, apparently, and so here we, you know, the point is, Russia's allied with Saddam Hussein at one time, weren't they?
As a matter of fact, they helped him into power. He had, before he even became came to power, I read a report that he actually had a secret agreement with the KGB since 1973. So, and his contacts to KGB officers, among which was, and still is, for example, now former Russian Prime Minister Yevgeny Primakov, chief of the KGB one time, and some other people, that tells us that that the connection with Russia is still there.
Now, there's plenty of documentation on my website to the fact that this war was planned for long in advance. And we went over there to get Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. Now, whether he had weapons of mass destruction or not, Israel has weapons of mass destruction. That's pretty well documented. Certainly well documented that Israel has weapons of mass destruction. We don't go after Israel, but we go after Saddam Hussein for weapons of mass destruction, and we have weapons of mass destruction. Why is he the one that was signaled out to be the evil one, do you think?
Well, you have to realize, Chris, that Israel is our ally in that region, just about the only ally we have. That's a good thing that Israel's got weapons, nuclear weapons, and other weapons that that Israel is able to use. In case of Russian supplied nuclear weapons and for example, Chinese nuclear weapons to Iran, which is another problem also, and Russia supplying uranium to Iran for quote peaceful use. And of course, I have to add that Russians are supplying missiles to Syria and to all these regimes in Middle East. We have to look at who runs Russia and if these are our true allies, and then we have to realize that these are our enemies. They are still communists. They only pretend to be our friends. So anything they do has to be watched. So the report that Bill Gertz from Washington Times brought in, that was publicized, that the Russians removed some of the Saddam Hussein WMDs from Iraq prior to the U.S. invasion. That report tells us that the Russians did it on purpose to make sure that we don't find anything to discredit our leadership in America and to tie us into a war that will clearly cost us a lot of money, many lives, and basically we will stop watching our home front here.
Now, that's very well chronicled. We're in 135 countries. According to certain sources, the numbers vary, 100 to 10, 135. We're setting up military bases over there in Afghanistan and Iraq. Why are we setting up those military bases over there? Why are we over there to begin with?
Well, the problem is, it's a good thing that we are there, except with the exception that we don't have any nuclear weapons over there. And so we are sending our military personnel to basically be sitting ducks. We are trusting the wrong people. That's the bottom line. We are trusting people that never collapsed their system of government, the communists. And so, therefore, they can pretty much do what they please. And since they had control over these countries, and that was stated by, again, Andropov, in his statement that they control, that the Russian KGB and the GRU military intelligence, they had control over the Middle Eastern friendly countries' intelligence networks, so they can pretty much maneuver these countries into any kind of conflict they desire. Clearly, this was documented. We have to kind of consider the importance of this for the Russians. Since we know that they are our enemies, then wouldn't it be important for them to create this kind of conflict, which partially was based on good information about Saddam's programs, WMD programs, but then why didn't he use these weapons against us? Why did the Russians help him to remove it?
Do we know for sure that the Russians helped him to remove these weapons?
Yes, that was documented through our military, U.S. military satellite pictures, and it was basically leaked from the Pentagon.
Were most of Saddam Hussein's weapons from Russia?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. He had all kinds of help from Russia. As a matter of fact, there was some Czech involvement also. It's very hard to document this, but there were some biological weapons, some samples found, some closed model laboratories that were found, and of course documents that they were uncovered. Russia is clearly involved, except we don't hear about it too much on the news here, because we still consider Russia as being our friend, which is, I think, very, very, very. Basically, it's a major fraud what the Russians are doing, and we should be exposing them for who they are.
Well, here I see once again from the current communist goals of 1963, which was actually from Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Communist, written in 1957. Number one, U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. And then number three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength, which obviously isn't going on, except they'd sure like to get the civilian firearms, that's for sure. And that's been going on because of State Department Publication 7277, Freedom from War. From 1961, which is still ongoing today. But, you know, U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war, I don't know what to think about this. I couldn't find my Perestroika Deception book. Didn't have time. But in there, they talk about the suitcase bombs on a certain page. I forgot what page it was. But in the Perestroika Deception, he talks about the fact that suitcase bombs could be used in this country to promote terrorism here.
Well, that was very well documented by GRU, Russian military intelligence officer, Colonel Stanislav Lunev, and he testified, and he was in charge of suitcase nukes in America when he was stationed in Washington, D.C. He was working for the Russian embassy over there. And I have these the statement from him. Basically, Lunev claimed that there could be anywhere from 100 to 200 suitcase nukes already in America positioned to be used against America. But see, the bottom line is Russians want us to think that basically this is all Islamic terrorism. They want us to think that this is part of this is matter of religion, the hatred towards America. But there's this important fact that kind of makes it makes this statement improbable, because why didn't we get hit again after 9/11? Why we know that there are sleeper cells in America, but what are they waiting for? I mean, if these were basically people, Islamic fanatics, wouldn't they hit us again and again? Wouldn't they try to use suicide bomb attacks against American cities? Wouldn't they just blindly attack? What are they waiting for? This seems like coordinated effort. And now, when you go back to statement of Andropov, that these countries were already, the intelligence services of these Islamic countries like Iran, Iraq at that time, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, these countries were controlled by the KGB. They could easily further their strategy. And Andropov basically claimed that, stated clearly to later defector, and he publicized here in America, Ion Mihai Presepa. He was chief of the Romanian espionage service. And Andropov told Presepa that it is necessary to supply these countries with Russian nuclear weapons, so the Americans wouldn't dare to attack, because we are too decadent to do this kind of nuclear war. There are involvement of the PLO that was clearly created by the KGB, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Yasser Arafat held the rank of KGB general. I remember when I was still in Czechoslovakia, I used to see Arafat and Gaddafi taking turns and coming to Czechoslovakia buying all kinds of explosives, among which was the highly potent plastic explosive Semtex that brought down, for example, the Lockerbie flight, the Pan Am flight that was the plane was downed in by the bomb in Scotland in Lockerbie.
Yes.
In the 80s. So that was Czechoslovak explosive that brought it down. So the communists are clearly supplying these organizations with weapons and explosives and controlling them from behind the scenes.
I see. So with these deceptions that are being manipulated at this point in time, you're pretty concerned, aren't you?
Very much concerned, because the strategy is there. As a matter of fact, I had interest you in this, I came across important document that stated that the Soviet plan to invade Western Europe was executed, and it was about to be finished in 7 days.
I'll tell you what, you keep your thoughts in place here. Listeners, we're the Hans and Molina. The anticommunistanalyst.com is the website. It's on our website, americanexpose.com. We will be back momentarily with Hans Molina. Stay with us.
You're listening to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Succession from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today. You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
And welcome back to the broadcast. This is Chris Gerner with the DGST Hour and American Exposé, DGST/American Exposé, or the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour, sponsored by Melody Cederstrom. We're on WWCR 9.985. That's 9.985. Let everybody know that we're back on 9.985 on shortwave. And First Amendment Radio Network, support them. And that tape, that recording about the federalization during the Civil War or the war between the states, is something that everyone should purchase from the network, because that's when it started. It was all about the position of the federal flag to be positioned above the state flag, because before the Civil War, according to my information, the federal flag was below the state flag. And at the conclusion of the war between the states, the federal flag was on top, and it's been on top ever since. The federal government has taken away the state sovereignty in many respects in this country, and that needs to be restored. Restoration is what this is all about, listeners. Restoration. Hansa, I interrupted you as we were going to break. Continue with your thoughts and direction.
Well, basically what I was saying as part of the strategy what the Russians are involved in, Russia let me finish with this. Basically, and I can quote Galitzin again because he stated as much, and it's regarding the infiltration of our society and basically of NATO. If you want to take into consideration what has been done with NATO in the last 15 years, and he stated in the Perestroika Deception on page 228. Given continuing Russian influence and leverage in Eastern Europe, Eastern European and eventually Russian involvement in NATO are the long-term Russian strategic interest in accordance with the Sun Tzu, old Chinese military strategy, principle of, quote, entering the enemy's camp unopposed, unquote. The Eastern European membership would mean the ruin of NATO. What the Russians did, and this is very significant, and I agree with Golitsyn 100%, he says right here, the televised spectacle of Russian barbarity in Chechnya has aroused apprehension in neighboring states of comparable Russian military operations against themselves, thereby strengthening the argument that former members of the Warsaw Pact should be admitted to membership in NATO. And this is very well documented, and Golitsyn is 100% right, and I was able to document that in the case of NATO, in the case of the Czech Republic delegation to NATO, these are all communist agents, communist military officers. As a matter of fact, they give themselves clearances, they are in charge of giving themselves security clearances. They supply information routinely to Moscow, what the NATO is up to. But we are not watching our backside here because the problem is that we accept Russia as our friend, which is something that should be totally rejected, and we should reassess Russian military strength, what the Russians are up to, their new state-of-the-art weapons, missile systems, including the Topol-M system, the strategic missile that can carry anywhere from 6 to up to 10, according to some sources, nuclear warheads or any other type of warhead. These are, we can't really shoot it down with anything, including the space-based lasers. This really scares me because Russians, we don't really know how many of these missiles Russia has. There are some estimates, but I think they are totally underestimated. So at the same time, when Russia claims how friendly they are to us, they're not releasing any files of people who are involved in sabotage and subversion of American foreign policies and American interests abroad, and their connection to various companies and groups that are hostile to America. I'm talking about the Islamic terrorism. And Russia supplying weapons to these people. At the same time, Russia claims that they are friendly to us, and that should be reassessed, and we should really address this, the Russians, and tell them that we understand what they're up to and that we will fight the fire with fire, because that's the only thing that the communists understand. But let us not be fooled by these plain false and deceptive statements of former KGB officers in charge of Russia and Eastern Europe, because they are designed to fool America into more deeper sleep, and we can't afford that at this day and age.
You know, I thought we had Sun Tzu on our website and other links. I thought at one time we had Sun Tzu there, but apparently it's not here. We'll have to get it back because that's very, very relevant to what's going on now. You honestly think that Russia is supplying the quote-unquote insurgents that we're told about in Iraq, the weaponry, right now?
Absolutely. Those are Russian weapons, and they have contacts to Russia. There was a case, and we talked about it before, but I can repeat that. There was a case of, and you got to understand, and your listeners have to understand that this is so difficult to prove in the sense that there are not too many facts coming out because they're protecting these secrets. But there was a report in Czech Republic that stated that Czech communist agent, Iraqi national, Mufid al-Jazairi, and I have to say that Mr. Gertz from Washington Times wrote about al-Jazairi, as a member of the Iraqi Communist Party. Al Jazairi was a member of the interim Iraqi government. In Fallujah, there were two Czech journalists captured in Fallujah last year, and it was Al Jazairi, through his contacts with the insurgents, he got them out unharmed and with no problem. They returned to Czech Republic. So there is connection between Russia and the insurgents, and of course there are so many other indications, but this is just one of the piece of the mosaic we have to look at. There's connection with the supply of the arms. We have to kind of take into consideration, of course, the logic of the whole situation. How come we are not able to destroy these insurgents? How come they are always supplied with weapons? And they have enough intelligence. There is certainly somebody behind them. This is not isolated effort, and this is being supplied by they're using Russian weapons. They're using supply channels that are clearly set up for these purposes from Syria. They were also used from Lebanon prior to Syria so-called withdrawal from Lebanon. Syria just signed a major agreement with Russia again. We have to look at what who's behind, and there's always the policy of the Russian government that Russia's hand cannot be ever seen behind all these operations against America, behind the campaign against America.
Now, Hans, I see here dated June 8th today, 22 Iraqi soldiers were kidnapped near the Syrian border. An Iraqi military source said as 4 U.S. soldiers were killed in less than 24 hours in attacks north of the capital. With no let-up in the targeting of the country's fledgling security forces, senior Iraqi Shiite leader Abdul Aziz El Hakim demanded that the armed wing of his party play a greater role in hunting down insurgents who have also singled out the country's majority Shiite community for attacks. With this that is going on, we really don't know who the enemy is, do we?
No, absolutely not. That's the biggest problem. See, we blindly believe that the communism collapsed, that the Soviet Union collapsed, but that's just not the case. Let me real quick quote something here that I was able to put together. Like for example, the revolutions in Ukraine and in Eastern Europe, the so-called pro-democracy revolutions. These are all people that one time or another worked for the KGB, so Russians are controlling these revolutions too. I was able to document who these people are in the Ukraine government. It's becoming to the point that we are trusting, like is the saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
Well, what happens in the when we get fooled third time? I mean, we are being taken for the ride. And clearly we don't understand how important this is to them to control our foreign policy, to maneuver us into believing that Russia is our friend. Let me quote Golitsyn real quick. I just found a quote here that tells it all. When he was stationed in Finland as the KGB officer at the Soviet embassy in 1961, he says the following. This reminds me of a remark by Vladimir Zhenikov, the former KGB resident chief officer in Finland, and Alexei Novikov, another KGB officer, at the time the strategy, the long-range strategy, was adopted in 1961. We're talking about the times of Khrushchev and later Brezhnev. Both of them had recently returned from home leave in Moscow. When I asked for the latest news from headquarters, both replied using different words but to the same effect. This time the KGB are going to finish with capitalist America once and for all. So they were preparing this plan. I mean, the plan is there. I was able to access, as a matter of fact, this is very important information regarding the so-called dissident and so-called anti-communist in Czech Republic, Václav Havel. That was the darling of the liberals here in America. Well, I have a file saying that this is a report from the STB Communist Secret Service. At the time, this is from 1964, Havel had clearly cooperated with the STB, with the Czech Security Service. He initiated contact with the Communist Party representative that informed the STB, and they came to Havel's apartment in Prague. And this was on the June 23rd, 1964, and they had a very friendly interview with Havel, and he agreed to help them to inform them more, and then he asked to leave the country to visit his uncle in Munich, in West Germany. His uncle, by the way, was former Gestapo agent during the Nazi occupation of Czechoslovakia, so this is just tied those ends. And Havel also agreed to cooperate, and then the statement is says that there's a report on Havel, and they set up file number KA24486, where the Captain Karel Odvarka says Havel is a very usable type of operational agent, and that we can use to an operation professor in Prague and to uncover the anti state activities of the professor. And the professor was a code name. There was a file number 23882 of CIA officer G. L. Klein that was supposed to be uncovered, and Havel was used to in this operation. So this is just tied these ends, of course, and then Havel was the one who put all these former communists, quote unquote, into his regime when the so-called collapse of communism happened in 1989 in Czechoslovakia, among which is one Walter Komarek. Walter Komarek was a member of the Communist Party, studied in Moscow since in 1949 after the so-called after the victory of communism in Czechoslovakia in 1948. Komarek then went to Cuba. He was advisor to Cuban communist government. He was personal friend of Enrique Che Guevara. And there are reports that Komarek frequently visited Soviet embassy in Havana, which was easy to assume that that Komarek had contacts to the KGB. After the so-called collapse of communism, Komarek was deputy prime minister in the government that Václav Havel set up. And there are also indications, and I stated that before, that the Russians themselves admitted that they orchestrated all these changes in Eastern Europe. So what are we talking about? We're talking about orchestrated long-range strategy to present Eastern Europe and the communist regimes over there as totally unusable. And we can go back to the quote I said about what Golitsyn says. That's, you know, these are the facts supporting it. And we see that Russians are clearly, they want us to accept communism as think of the past. And at the same time, they supporting all these Eastern European regimes. They infiltrated the NATO by these regimes, the European Union. They supply weapons to terrorists. They never released any files when they trained terrorists. And there are some very interesting names that we know of, that there were statements made by Czech officials. For example, if I may, there's one name, Carlos the Jackal, that was predecessor of Osama bin Laden. Carlos the Jackal was active in Czechoslovakia during the communist era. Major terrorist training camp in Czechoslovakia called Zastavka near city of Brno. I had a meeting with a Czech intelligence officer in Czech Republic in 2003, and he stated clearly in front of witness that he seen Mohammed Atta, the 9/11 hijacker, file that Atta was trained by Czechoslovak communists in 1988 in that terrorist training camp. So these are real things, that, and we know that that communists trained the terrorists. So, and then they, of course, they claim that they have terrorism problems. So, you know, I mean, they are playing us for fools, Chris, and we better watch out, because this is getting to the point that we are accepting somebody that we should reject from the beginning, and we only pay the price.
What information on your website, and maybe you don't have it, but I found it on other websites, that POWs during Vietnam, POWs during Korea, were taken to the Soviet Union and Communist China to be used as guinea pigs. Do you have any knowledge about that?
Well, of course. There's, as a matter of fact, on my website, I have a copy of congressional testimony of Czechoslovak defector General Jan Šejna from 1996. He was in front of Representative Bob Dornan committee on U.S. POWs, Shana had first-hand knowledge because he was the first secretary of the party at the Ministry of Defense in Czechoslovakia and chief of staff of the Ministry of Defense. So he was part of the decision-making council. He was also in charge of the Defense Council Secretariat at the Ministry of Defense. Let me quote real quick from Shano, because it's quite astonishing. He says, it was in the process of responding to Soviet direction in about 1956 that I first became aware of the use of American and South Korean POWs by Soviet and Czech doctors. I certainly would not pretend to know what happened to all the missing POWs, but I do know what happened to many of them. In brief, hundreds were used in Korea and in Vietnam as human guinea pigs. At the beginning of the Korean War, we received instructions from Moscow to build a military hospital in North Korea. The advertised purpose of the hospital was to treat military casualties, but this was only a cover, deception. The top secret purpose of the hospital was to experiment on American and South Korean POWs. The POWs were used as bodies for training military doctors in field medicine, for example, treating serious wounds and conducting amputations. The POWs were used to test the effects of chemical and biological warfare agents and to test the effects of atomic radiation. The Soviets also used the American GIs to test the physiological and psychological endurance of American soldiers. They were also used to test various mind control drugs. Czechoslovakia also built a crematorium in North Korea to dispose of the bodies and parts after the experiments were conducted. The Americans and South Koreans were not the only humans used as guinea pigs. Thousands of prisoners within the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia too were also used. So there are, of course, a lot of other details. There was an excellent book written about the whole situation by Dr. Joseph D. Douglas called Betrayed. So I strongly suggest people to read it, because then we start thinking about what the communists are capable of, and I know first-hand knowledge that communists are evil people, because I lived under that system, and I know very well how they operate, because I had to serve in their army. So we better watch out. We better start rejecting these people and preparing for some bad times ahead of us.
Well, and certainly the fact of the matter is that a defector had to tell the truth to the Senate or the Congress regarding our POWs used as guinea pigs. And I wonder what's happening today. You know, if any of them are surviving, or you know, certainly they built the crematorium. A lot of them are gone. Most of them are gone. Maybe all of them are gone. But is the gulag system in Russia and the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia, is the gulag system still in place like it used to be, or has it changed?
Well, I wouldn't call it exactly gulag system. Well, we can still call it that way, but most of these people who disagree with the system are there for criminal under criminal code charges, because that's the cover to cover up their political disagreements with the regime. So that's what I was told. There's also a report from a journalist, American journalist. I don't have the name, but I was told that there was a report, and he published it in a book. And he was in Moscow, and he seen a somebody told him that there were political prisoners in this closed building, very carefully watched. And when he was trying to approach the building and take a little peek, he was stopped by the police and then taken away. So basically what happened was they collapsed the system to present themselves as friendly to the West. Therefore, anybody who disagrees with this idea that it was all set up for a purpose to destroy the West and destroy our freedom, anybody is a target. And they can orchestrate any kind of liquidation operation against you. I'm in contact with a person in Czech Republic, Mr. Sibulka. He served 5 years in communist prisons during the communist era. He's a member of the opposition. He's a chairman of the opposition party. They get nowhere, basically. They are prevented from becoming any kind of force by the regime over there. For example, their bank account was frozen by the regime, so by the government. It was case built up very carefully. And you wouldn't believe the lengths they have to go to fight the system. And the only reason why they are such a target is because they want to install the system of government the American founding fathers envisioned for America. So that's not desirable over there at all. Of course, Mr. Sibulka fights the system. He published several thousand of names of communist agents that are still involved in various businesses. They control the media.
Hansa, we're just about out of time. Now, I don't want to put too much of a stress on you with your information. We've been together three weeks now on Wednesday, but I see here you have the Russian communist military strategy against America. You have it updated to May 9th. Are you able to continue, or is this becoming
absolutely
a little more of a burden for you?
As long as it takes, Chris, this got to go out. This information has to be published.
Okay, let's have you back next Wednesday again, okay?
That's not a problem at all.
Okay, thank you, Hansa, and we're out of time. And give me a call,
Chris,
after the show if you want, Hans. And we'll continue with these directions, listeners. Very important. I'll be back in 1 hour. Stay tuned for Jackie Petru and her broadcast. And keep in mind, I'll be back in 1 hour on First Amendment Radio. That's First Amendment Radio. Stay tuned to that, listeners. God bless you all. ¶¶